Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 778. And I'm here live in New York City. Actually, I'm in Times Square. Once again, Starbucks. Yeah. I have a special guest. First of all, I have Alejandro here. He's, you know, background.
Yeah, hi, hello.
That's it, he's in the background.
Background guy.
Yeah.
Taking pictures.
Make sure to check out Zona Gamer podcast.
Yeah, in Spanish.
In Spanish. It's all Spanish. Make sure to check it out. And also, I have another guest here. The show radio.
What's
Andrew.
Going on, bro? What's
you
going
me call you
on?
Andrew, you're right.
Like, Andrew's what? Fine. Andrew's Andrew. On. Whatever you feel comfortable with, man.
It's just, like me. Like, yeah, people know me as Godfrey, but I promote
it's a handle that allows me to really be about the loyalty and the trust and you know, that kind of thing. And it has a special place for me when people call me Uriah. So
see,
either way, it's fine.
The thing I love of our like recording our podcast, we're very portable. Like, we can record anywhere. Museums, restaurants, cafe places, like everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy that you're here, man.
It
took
up
a couple
to
hours
here,
to get
bro.
To New York.
It's all
saying?
Good.
And it's rare. It's rare for me to see Uriah here, man.
It's
super
good,
rare.
Bro.
Super rare. So for those that don't know, make sure to go to gamertagradio.com. Check us out, different podcast apps, different platforms. You can check us out, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And also, for those that are in here in New York City, we're going to have a screening of Gamertag Radio, a podcast story during the Dominican Film Festival 2018 here in New York City. It's going to happen Friday, July 27th at 5 p.m. For more information, check out the description here. Right there, I have all the information where you can check out like the venue and everything. Or go to DominicanFilmFestival.com and purchase your tickets. We need your support because right now, Andrew, you don't know about this, but we're competing in the Latino Experience USA competition.
Tell me more.
Well, actually, they have a couple of movies, feature films, over 60 minutes, between like 40, 60 minutes or so. Our documentary is 61 minutes. So we're part of the competition. There's a couple of movies there, different type of genres, you know, action, documentary, drama, comedy. And we're competing with them. So we'll see what happens. I'm just happy that they selected our film. That's, to me, is like number one right now.
Yeah, I wish you the best, man, because you've been grinding that for a minute now. And the fact that you even came out and put all that stuff together, from what I understand, you used iMovie to put that together.
Yes.
Right? You had the
Super
audio.
Ghetto.
Super Ghetto.
Super Ghetto. Super Ghetto.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks,
definitely
man.
That, man.
And also, we just had a screening at the Florida SuperCon. They have a film festival called Super Geek Film Festival. We won a first award. So this is my first trophy, my first award as a filmmaker.
Ever. And, ever.
Ever. Ever. Period. Ever. And this is best feature film. Basically, the best movie at
that was
the
in
whole
there.
Film festival.
Right.
Yes. So that's awesome.
That is awesome.
I was not expecting that at all.
That's all right. But you almost didn't make it. Because you were talking about, as far as the amount of footage that you were using, you just decided that, hey, you know what? Let me just put the film together.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Like, honestly, sometime last year, I wasn't thinking about making a movie or not. I think it was more the end of November. It was like during Thanksgiving. That's when I started editing, and I finished it early January. And officially done, because I had to make some changes first week of February of this year, actually. So it's dope, man. So I'm very happy. For those that watch the film and you still want to support us, go to the DominicanFilmFestival.com and make sure to buy the tickets, because we need your support. And at the same time, we want to... I, personally, I want people that doesn't know anything about podcasts or video games, that they be in shock, and maybe they inspire them to also be content creators, you know? So that's my goal. So make sure to check it out.
What was your trip like to New York?
It was good. I slept through a whole trip.
Okay.
I slept through a whole trip. I was super, super tired because I was doing a lot of things in Miami, you know, and I slept really late, and I woke up 2-3 hours later, and I'm here in the city, man. You know what I'm saying? So
awesome.
It's good. I'm going to be here for 2 weeks and a half. So I have a couple interviews lined up for the podcast.
Can you talk about them?
No. I want to surprise the listeners. I want to surprise the listeners, man. So
can you give me like an idea?
No,
like,
I can't.
You can't?
I can't, man.
Can I
want
guess?
I want a surprise.
If I guess, would you say?
No. Even if you say it, I won't even say what it is. I won't say it is. But we're going to have an audio conversation for later that P and Paris recorded during the last episode. They did like an alpha show on Twitch, and it was a pretty good conversation about Anthem, which I'm going to play later on the podcast. But with you...
You like or you don't like?
No, I love it. It's okay. A great conversation. It's about Anthem. It's a great conversation.
Do you like the game or you don't like the game yet? Early impressions.
The game, it's good. It looks good for the moment. It looks good. Campaign. What happens after I finish the game? Because look, I see Anthem more as like Monster Hunter, right? I don't know why people bring up Destiny. It's not a Destiny game. It's not a Division game. It's more like Monster Hunter. But the thing I love about Monster Hunter, first of all, Capcom been making a lot of games of Monster Hunter. So they learn from their experience. You finish the game, there's still extra content, and they're always adding content every week. Every week there's a quest or something. So it reminded me a little bit of Phantasy Star Online. At that time, it took Sega a long time to post extra content for Phantasy Star Online. So every time they put something up, I was like, oh my God, it's Phantasy Star Online. Oh my God. Monster Hunter is more quicker.
So do you think lack of consistency in the content that's going to be coming out for Anthem might kill it early?
You know what's the problem?
Mm.
I want to say that for the next audio, but I'm going to say this very quick before we go to the main topic. The thing that I'm a little bit worried is this is BioWare's first
open world
game. Yeah. This is their first game that type, and at the same time, they're not really saying much. Usually, by this time, hopefully by September, October, they need to say more about the game. They're not really saying much. I'm a little bit worried. And the game comes out early next year. So they got to start telling us. Is it March?
Yeah. March? Somewhere
I think it's
right
March, right? So they got to start saying more things about the game. Get me hype. Why I should buy the game? It's $60, you know?
Okay.
But now let's go with the main jam.
Let's talk about the main jam.
Andrew.
Yo.
Dying Light 2.
Whoa.
Actually, you're wearing a Dying Light 2.
I'm wearing the shirt. I saw it first.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You saw it first of me.
I did I?
I think. I don't know, because I saw you. Because
I came back
interview.
Into... Yeah. I came back into the
I had to see
room.
The game first before doing an interview.
Ooh, bro.
Or impressions and stuff, so...
Let me tell you, man.
We saw this at E3.
Absolutely.
Your thoughts about the game? You played the first one?
I don't think I played the first one.
Oh, my God. You don't know what you're missing, dude. The game is super cheap now.
Yeah, I mean... I just remembered the action in the first one, but I don't think I actually did... hands-on with it.
Oh my God.
But this one here, I'm really, really looking forward to everything that I saw, man. For
why is that?
It just put together well, because it reminds me so much of I Am Legend. Like when I'm looking at the world and the way things are, like,
yes, yeah,
the night and day experiences and how certain things are more,
and the
know,
enemies
crazy,
especially
right at night.
Especially at night.
So yeah. So that whole vibe, you know, and that movie is a classic. If
yeah,
you haven't
yeah.
seen that, definitely yeah. check out I Am Legend. So I get that vibe from it. And the presentation was really good. And the way you parkour through the city, that's really dope. And the decisions that you make in between the factions, like if you're going to kick the guy off the thing, or if you're going to just, you know, fall back. Remember that whole, that particular situation can make or break.
It changes everything.
It changes everything, right. Yeah. So that whole portion of the game demo that they showed, I'm really feeling it, bro.
Yeah. And graphic looks a lot better than
Beautiful.
Last game. Yeah. I don't know if they were showing up maybe the PC version, because that's when I first got to see the first game was the PC version that had an Xbox controller. But the thing I like about the first game, besides the enemies and the story, is that they had a lot of content, free content, and also they also added an expansion.
Right, so DLC tell me this: was there a monster in the first one?
Yeah,
like there was a particular thing that you can do and fight a monster like at night that was like almost unbeatable. Was that the first game?
The first, yeah.
Okay, so I remember special, portions
it's like
of that.
A more powerful zombie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like during the day, it's more of weak zombies, and you also see regular human beings that just.
Right. They still have to grab materials and stuff like that.
They're just trying to survive and whatever. But the thing is, this game, to me, in my opinion, was one of the best co-op experience to me. Because we used to do a lot of like maybe the main campaign or side campaign, like side side quests.
I have to look because I have some memories of it, and I'm trying to figure out that I have it for Xbox One, and I just don't recall. So I'm going to double check on that.
Honestly, like. For those that are hyped for this game, The Division, maybe the next expansion for Destiny 2.
Which is Forsaken. Coming up in
it's
September.
Coming very soon, yeah.
And then the bounties released today.
Yes, yes. But I'm saying, like, if you are into those games, like right now, I'm hyped for The Division 2. Like, super hyped.
So what are you playing right now, though?
The Division.
Got it.
I played Fortnite, you know, Season 5. I play a lot of games. You know, I get games all the time to review and stuff. But the thing is, I've been playing a lot of Division 2. They have a lot of quests.
The shield stuff?
End game stuff.
What's the shield stuff?
The shield. So they give you like achievements. Not achievements, but more of stuff that you need to do in the game. Once you finish all that, every week there's like new shield missions.
Is it like bounties?
Kind of like that, but for the Division.
For Division
But once you finish it, like, let's say you need to go to Dark Zone and complete 25 landmarks in Dark Zone. Kill 10 enemies with names.
Like patrol. Like their patrols.
Like
and stuff.
That.
Right.
Or, you know, little missions, right? Once you're done, you will get content that is on your account from Division. No, I can't say Destiny. From the Division 1 to Division 2, and you unlock in the game. If you never played the first one, you cannot unlock that. This is like exclusive for those that have the first game, which is good too, because
that's a good marketing thing right
it's
there,
smart
bro.
Because if you have Xbox Game Pass, you could play the game. You don't need to buy it. Or if you're going to buy it, it's super cheap. It's extremely cheap right nowadays. You could also play the Division PC version.
Right.
PlayStation 4 version and so on. But I'm super hyped for the game. And the thing that I love about the Division 1 and the Division 2, you could tell that game was made because of the community feedback. Especially, for those that don't know, Paris. Well,
before you go into that, did you recently start investing time in the Division,
or you've been playing since? I mean, I took some.
So you took a break.
Yeah.
We take breaks,
But I always loved the game.
Very cool.
Always,
very cool. Very cool.
Especially Pete.
Okay, you were saying something about Paris.
So I went back once they had the update 1.8.
Mm.
That's took a break once they updated that. You know, there was so much stuff to do that I was even completely lost. I didn't know what to do at all. So I'm playing that a lot, and there's stuff that I'm always discovering that I'm like, oh my God, it's available in the game. I didn't know about this. So survival, underground, there's always daily, weekly missions that you could do, global events. I freaking love the game. Love it. Now, with Paris and P, they went to the event. They got to see the game early. And one of the questions that Paris asked to the producer, actually, of the game, or creative director, I can't remember exactly. He asked him, oh, so what you do in the end game once you finish the campaign? Will there be content?
For
the first game.
Right.
There wasn't enough content. During the interview, they gave Paris and Pete like a pretty weak answer.
Right.
That we were like, okay, we're going to give it a chance. So the game comes out. Everybody hyped. I think it sold a lot of copies for Ubisoft.
Absolutely.
A lot of copies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But the game comes out and people left after a while. Like, yo, there's nothing
else to do. It was almost like, what was it, a year plus?
A year
it
plus.
It felt like.
But
right.
Because of the feedback, they started adding updates. And 1.8 to me was more because of the community. Division 2, playing that, there's so much stuff to do in the game.
Right.
Like the stuff that we played at E3, yo, that was like a quest. It wasn't even a
But
a
I mean,
story.
But that's what it's supposed to be about anyway, right? If there's changes
learning.
That need to make, that needs to happen in the game that you're putting out, especially if it's an ongoing game, because now they're giving awards for ongoing games now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So if you're coming out with this particular thing and the community is saying that you need to make changes and we're bored now, you need to do something if you want us to continue
playing
your game.
If they want us to come back.
Right.
Yeah, but the thing is with the Division 2, there's so much stuff in the game. Plus, all the free content for the first year is free. Plus, multiple raids during the year. Totally free. 8-player raid.
Right.
Again, totally free. You're not getting that from the Division. Ubisoft, massive, actually. They learn from their mistakes. They've been getting a lot of community feedback.
You said you're not getting that from the Division. You mean you're not getting that from...
I mean, Destiny, my bad.
Right.
My bad.
Right,
Destiny,
right.
Destiny.
Okay, fair enough. I just wanted
and
to
Destiny
make sure.
Too, yeah,
because I don't want people to hit you over the head
because you made
that comment and be like, what is he talking about?
Destiny.
I got you,
and
bro.
Destiny 2. And at the same time, they're charging for that content. You know, and I feel like Ubisoft is doing something totally...
That's fair.
Yeah.
But if you're invested, you're going to get.
No. If you're a fan of the Division or you're a fan of the Destiny and you don't mind paying. I support. I pay stuff all the time, you know. But I'm just happy that Massive are just going all in.
That's right.
For the next Division, man.
And it looks really good. Plays really good.
It plays smooth.
I like it.
Way better than the first one.
Yeah.
Way better. And that was just a side quest. It wasn't even the main story, none of that. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen once we play the main story,
right.
Co-op, and especially the raid. 8-player raid,
mm-hmm.
That boss has to be something freaking crazy.
Coordination.
If they said 8-player raid, dude, that's nuts. That's nuts.
It's going to be insane.
Nuts.
It's going to be insane.
And all right, so which version you're getting?
I don't know yet, man.
I think I'm getting Xbox.
Oh, you mean for like the platform?
Platform.
It's going to be PlayStation for me.
You don't have Xbox.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I just, right now, PlayStation
is
my joint.
Why PlayStation? Because you got more friends there. That's fine if you have more friends there.
No, I don't think it's about the friends thing. It's just I've grown to love the platform.
That's fine, too.
You know, and I think that's really where I'm at. And then the scuff controller that I use there, you know, I haven't really gotten, you know, that many accessories for the Xbox for a while now.
Well, I have Xbox One X. So
fancy.
Right now.
Fancy.
Thank you. But it seems like Xbox and Ubisoft, they have that marketing thing.
Right.
For the Division
Collab,
2.
They're doing it, right.
So we're going to see some 4K stuff that we probably not going to see on PlayStation 4 Pro. Or...
Mm-mm.
I haven't heard anything about exclusive content. They haven't said anything about
that. For the consoles and stuff, right?
Yeah, but I feel it's like you as a Destiny fan.
Yeah.
PlayStation has a deal with Bungie and Activision for exclusive content. It makes sense to go to PlayStation. You know what I'm saying?
I don't even think I played for that.
I mean, for me, I play where my friends are at. That's or the type of console you have, too.
Right, but I definitely want to build on that. I want to build on that because in terms of the platform that I just enjoy the PlayStation operating system and just
everything is
like clean and neat and things work most of the time, you know? I know everybody got their thing.
It works for Xbox, too,
right.
You know how to mess
exactly.
with it.
Exactly. And Xbox has done a lot of changes on the OS, the dashboard
Game
in the last year and a half, 2 years. To be fair, I just like it the way it's flowing right now.
Paris, he's a PC gamer. He's thinking he might get the Xbox version.
Mm.
He's really thinking about it.
Are you switching to PC stuff or no?
Nah.
Okay.
I'm console. I can't go with PC, man.
Too much. Would you build?
No,
would you build?
I think in the future I will, but now it's like, really, like, why do I need a PC?
Use it for the editing and the podcast
besides
and stuff.
Besides that.
Right.
For gaming, I'm happy with what I have.
Okay.
you know, I'm not a graphical, oh man, needs to have 4K. I really don't, you know, if it has, that's a plus to me. You know, I think I'm happy with the Xbox One X more because it loads faster than what I had before.
What else do you like about it?
Just that. It loads faster. I just don't have patience to sit there and wait. I think that's important too, because to me, I want to play the game smooth, no lag, frame rate is not that bad. Like, that's, I want to have a good experience. You know what I'm saying? Like PUBG in the beginning, even using the Xbox One X, it was freaking horrible. Horrible. Now it's a little bit better, but I'm playing a lot of Fortnite. It's super.
Okay, so I'm glad you mentioned that. Nice shirt, by the way. You want to talk about that too?
I'm wearing Call of Duty Black Ops 4. And I was walking here at Times Square, and a couple of people were like, oh man, Black Ops. One person asked me, oh wait, it's coming out in May? I'm like, why May? And I looked at the side of my shirt. It says May 17. That was the day when they revealed
it. They revealed the stuff, right.
But that's the thing I have to say, man. A lot of people don't go to IGN, don't go on YouTube.
They're looking for.
They just probably go to GameStop or they go to Best Buy. Oh, the game is out there, buy, and that's it. And that's, or whatever is on the front page of the system. That's all they know.
So you mentioned Fortnite, right?
Yeah.
So are you doing any battle royale, any game, or are you considering the one coming for?
Let me tell you,
Black Ops 4.
I play Fortnite more than anything right now. Right now at the moment.
Why?
It's fun. I play plus with my nephews. So one of them has a Switch. One of them plays on Xbox. I play Xbox, mobile, or Switch. Because I have Epic accounts, so I can play on any, besides, forget about PlayStation, but any other platform I could play with them. Voice chat, perfectly fine. It works perfectly, man. You know, so that's the thing I love about Fortnite. PUBG, it's like, you play Xbox, you only play with Xbox. You play PC, it's only PC. You play mobile, which is better than the Xbox version, in my opinion. You only play with mobile. That's it. And
so are we keeping a cross-play conversation on the top of the podcast?
Yeah, stuff? Go for it. I don't know. It's a conversation.
I just want to hear your thoughts on it, man.
We got a few minutes, but it's a conversation.
We're good. So what do you think that, what do you foresee taking place with the cross-play conversation, especially with Sony?
And actually, I have to agree with Paris. I know you've been mentioning this now for a couple of weeks on the podcast. Crossplay is great. I would love to see more cross save. So let's say him or Pete, they get Destiny. Let's say Destiny 3. Let's make believe Destiny 3 comes out.
I get some exotics.
Exotics. Or they have two versions. Usually we get a lot of review copies from companies, right? So imagine they get two versions, one PC, one Xbox, let's just say. Paris played 30 to 40 hours in the Xbox version. Man, all my friends are on PC. He saved his character, saved all the stuff that he unlocked. You go on a PC, everything is there. That's what I do with Fortnite. I'm traveling. Maybe my Switch is dead. The only option I have is my iPad. I have 100% battery life on my iPad, but I'm playing the same character. Everything they unlocked is in my same account.
Why seamless not between play? Right across platforms.
I love cross save.
Right.
I love that because you don't have to grind on one console and then grind on another and come back and grind again. I don't need to deal with that crap. You know what I'm saying? Like with Destiny and maybe the Division is going to be like that too. Yo, if I'm getting one console, I'm just sticking with that console. I'm not buying nothing else.
Right. So there's a particular, let me think about this one. So there's a particular challenge right now that I hope they change.
Of what? Destiny?
No. Well, I'll go into it.
Okay.
Mixer is currently only on the Xbox platform. Daily Motion.
You're also PC.
And PC. Fair enough. You used to have Daily Motion on the PlayStation platform, YouTube, and Twitch. Now, it would be great, maybe at some point in the near future, that they take the Mixer ability in terms of streaming and put it on the PlayStation platform, because that's not
all right,
that's not
so
there. So I'm
have,
sure there's some
I have a couple
business things
I have a couple
related
things
to that.
Right now, you could still stream from the PlayStation unless you connect it to your PC. That's the only way. You could connect the Switch to your PC, stream it on Mixer. As of right now, they don't have an app for it.
Right.
For the actual platform.
Correct.
That's up to PlayStation and Xbox.
Right.
I know at first they started as an Xbox platform and maybe a little bit of PC.
The Beam thing?
Yeah, but this is for everything.
Right.
They have shows there about the Nintendo Switch and PlayStation. Like that.
No, it's...
The Mixer staff created the, just because they're competing YouTube, Facebook.
It's a great platform, man.
Yeah.
It's really good. We just started streaming there not too long ago.
So let me ask you, why are you streaming there? And
we wanted to check it out.
Or you just want to stream both?
Yeah, because, I mean, content distribution, we don't want to do too much friction for the individuals that can potentially find our content, because we were talking about that on another piece of content that's going to come out soon, right? So you don't want anybody to be like, okay, they're only here, but I'm here. How do I get them, you know, that information, whether it's audio, video, or written word? Now, we don't write at all as of late. I don't know if you write any
write,
piece of content.
I write our description of the podcast.
You just want to have the ability to have those options, right? So if we're streaming on Mixer right now, we record, let's say, the recent episode, 457 was on Mixer, right? The audio is already out on all the podcasts.
Well, that's what we do for the Twitch.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but you have the option to put it on every single platform. So now if they're like, okay, you're doing this stuff on YouTube, but I want to catch you live, so let me check out Mixer and see how it is. So you're not necessarily putting everybody, you're not bottlenecking anybody in a particular spot.
All right, that was good, man. So what we're going to do is we're going to now go to the conversation with Pete in Paris about Anthem, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
But yeah, when I was talking about the Destiny stuff, it's like, you know, obviously when the PC version came out last year, I ran through and I did a Warlock, leveled him up. I have a Warlock. He's raid ready, all that stuff. And then I have a Titan and a Warlock, excuse me, on PS4, leveled up, upgraded with and all that stuff. But I was thinking I want to do another Titan on the PC, and I was going to do it here, you know, here in the next couple of weeks. And then I was like, dude, I don't want to do this effing grind, man. I don't want to play the campaign anymore. But luckily, excuse me, I guess getting over cold. I guess when Forsaken comes out, just like Taken King, they're going to have that one-time level you up thing. Whatever it's called, Spark of Light or something like that. And you can skip the campaign and all that kind of stuff. So I'll just wait on the Titan and do it then, because I really do want to play it on the PC. But then at the same time, like I said, I still want to play on the PS4. So I don't know. I'm conflicted on how I want to handle it, because like I said, I know all these other games are going to be coming out, fighting for my attention. I just can't just go down that Destiny rabbit hole again, and that's all I'm playing. You know, I want to play other stuff as well. So I want to try and manage my time, you know, responsibly, I guess is the word I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I feel bad that I had so much love for Destiny and I kicked it to the curbs. How quickly it fell to the curb. And I don't know if that was just a burnout on me or just
games. It's Bungie's fault. It's Bungie's fault that a lot of people fell off that game, and they know it. You know, I've had some offline conversations. They know the F up that they did. They tried to make the game more casual. They tried to appease the casual audience when, in turn, they should have doubled down on appeasing their hardcore audience and let the casuals come and go as they please. That's what they should have did. And that's what it looks like they're doing with Forsaken, is they're doubling down on that effort. They're making this the quote-unquote investment hobby game that it was post Taken King, you know, when the game was at its peak. And I think that's where they're trying to get it to again, which in itself is unfortunate that we're all excited to get it back to where it was at Destiny 1. And that's a damn shame. We didn't talk about it on the podcast proper, but there's rumors out there, and how true they are, who knows, that Bungie is looking to get out of Destiny after Destiny 3 and sell the IP outright to Activision so they could move on and go do something else. If that happens, it won't surprise me, because what I think happened with Destiny is they didn't realize that this was going to be a hobby game, an investment game on the level that it is, and that they simply can't keep up with putting the content out for it. That's the main problem right now.
How close are they to that 10-year plan?
Where are we at? We're 4 years in now. So they got another 6 years. Yeah. I mean, you got to figure three comes out in 2020. That's the 6 year mark at that point. And the rumor is they would bail in 2020 and hand off all post support of Destiny 3 to probably like High Moon. And who's the other studio that's been working on it? VV. Vicarious Visions working on it. So maybe that's the plan. Maybe, because the thing about it right now with Destiny, we have three studios working on content and it's still not enough. And I think Bungie wants to do something else where that demand for the content isn't as great. Again, my opinion, I know nothing. This is just what I've heard, through the whispers, online. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, obviously, I'm still a fan of the game, but then I've become a big fan of The Division. I want to see what Anthem winds up being, because we still have no freaking idea what that game is. I'm telling you straight up, they don't have an end game. Kiss my ass. They don't have an end game. BioWare does not, because if they did, they would be screaming it at the rooftops right now. If they had a end game raid type activity, they would be talking about it right now. And the fact that, because when I've said it a few times on Twitter, you'll have people, with the sword and shield running to the defense of BioWare going, well, such and such developer made a comment about it on their Discord. Nope, that does not fly for me. Don't be talking about it in the shadows of Discord. If you really want to talk about this stuff, you would be front and center talking about it so that everybody can see it, not just the people that are on your Discord. So to me, that doesn't even count. They don't have an end game. I'm telling you right now, they don't. And prove me wrong, please. I would love to come and moonwalk in February and go, man, that end game of Anthem, amazing. Oh, I was so wrong. I would love to have a smile on my face. But having gone through Destiny, having gone through The Division, I'm talking about at launch, and seeing what those games were at launch, to me, Anthem's worse off than those two. Mm. My opinion, because where are the weapons? Where are the weapons? Where are the arm? Where are the things that I'm going to chase in that game? That's what I want to know. To me, I feel like they have a campaign that you're going to blow through in a week, right? Mm-hmm. Then they don't have multiplayer, no PvP. That's something they're thinking about. So there's no multiplayer right now. What am I chasing 2 months after launch?
If the developers say
hell, I'll put it this way. It comes out on February 22nd, right? Mm-hmm. What am I chasing on March 15th, 2019 that's going to keep me playing it and not jump to the Division 2? Answer that. That's what they had. Look, and people get mad at me for saying this, but I'm just being real about it. Because these looter shooter games, if I'm going to invest my time into them, you better have something for me to chase in. And, we've seen the struggles that Bungie has done, from Destiny 1 and the self-inflicted things that they've done with Destiny 2. The Division, knock on wood, from what I played of their end game, since I've jumped into it now, fantastic. There's still stuff I haven't done in it, which is great. How much of that translates over to the Division 2, we still don't know just yet. We know there's going to be a dark zone. But what about survival? What about the underground? What about, how is our PvP? How is all this stuff going to work for their end game stuff? We know they're going to have a raid, 8-person raids and all that. Those are still things they got to show us and talk about by the time we get to March. But at least they've had those public conversations about them. SkillUp, who's quickly becoming one of my favorite YouTubers, he's out of Australia. That dude's amazing because he just tells it like it is. He had a great interview with Julian and I'm forgetting the other person's name, but at Massive during E3. And he kind of deep dived into some of that in-game stuff, more so than we did in our interview, obviously. And it raised an eyebrow that they're not ready to commit, that they're simply going to do a cut and paste of all the features that are currently in the Division One are going to be there day one for the Division Two. It sounds like some are and some aren't. So if that's the case, which ones are going to be there, and what is that roadmap going to be to get the rest of them there? And what other new features or can we expect to see? You know, these are real questions. I mean, right. You know, look, we can interview the Division and talk about it all we want, but the proof is in the pudding on March 15th. What the hell are they going to have there? I'm confident they're going to have some very compelling stuff there, because it really seems like that studio has taken a deep dive, lessons learned from their own mistakes of their own game, and then obviously looked at what the competition, the kind of the missteps that they've done and some of the good things that they've done, and they're going to incorporate them into that game. And just to make a long story short, I have high hopes for the Division 2 getting it right at launch, whereas there's no way in hell I see it happening for Anthem. I just don't, because I don't get the same confidence, because they're not talking about it enough. They got to get out there on the pulpit and talk about it more. I really hope they change my mind by the end of the year. And then, I mean, look, I'm pretty sure all three of us are going to get it at launch regardless, because I just think it's just what we're going to do. But I'm not holding my breath for this being a long-term game for me. I will probably pull a Danny and be out in 3 weeks.
Actually, it's going to be less. It's going to be 16 days, because it's 16 days after the 27th that the Division 2 pops out. But my concern with jumping into and having now played Monster Hunter and experienced what that game style is like, and seeing what Anthem is all about, it's Monster Hunter World with mechs. Do I really want to jump on that grind and then jump on that grind again 3 months later?
Exactly.
I don't know if I'm ready for that type of investment. And I'm curious, if I'm already hesitant about Monster Hunter World or Monster World Hunter, however you pronounce it, am I going to have that same hesitation upon Anthem? And do I have enough content for me to play anyways outside of those two games that I don't care, and I'll just jump into the Division and disappear into Washington, D.C.?
That's what I'm saying. And that's the challenge that they have right now. They literally have, I think you said 16 days, but it's more than that. It's from the 22nd. So that's what?
Is it 22nd or 27th?
22nd.
Oh, okay.
So six days in February, and then 15. So they literally have three weeks.
Yeah, it's exactly three weeks. I'm looking at the calendar.
Exactly 3 weeks. Excuse me, I'm getting over cold. I apologize. So they have 3 weeks to convince me, because I'm telling you right now, March 15th hits, I ain't playing Destiny. I ain't playing nothing else. I'm going to be playing a Division 2. Mm-hmm. I just am. I already know I am. From what I played at E3, that, and from what you and I have played recently in the Division 1, chasing shields and doing that stuff and going into Dark Zone, dude, that's right up my alley. That's the kind of game I want to play. So they're going to get my attention on the 15th. So I say it again. What is the end game for Anthem? We don't know. And they've made vague promises about it, and they've not shown us anything. And until they actually show me that here's the quote unquote Anthem raid or whatever it's going to be, then I'm telling you, I'm out. I'm out after a couple of weeks. I'll play through the campaign, and we'll do some co-op stuff and stream it and laugh and giggle. And then I'm going to move on.
You mentioned something a few minutes ago, something along the line of, maybe the Division 2 may or may not have everything available at launch. Is that what you said? Is that what you were going to? Is that what you were saying?
Wait, say it again.
That the Division 2 may not have everything that they're talking about. Like, you know, I know the raid's not going to come out day one, you know, and may not bring everything over from the Division 1 over to the Division 2, if not at the beginning, if not at all, you know, who knows? I don't know. Something along those lines. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, because SkillUp had that interview with them, and okay, they kind of danced around it because they wouldn't make a full commitment. That, in other words, basically what he was saying is all the features that we currently have in the Division 1, will they be there day one for the Division 2? They would not commit to that. Some will, some won't, is basically what they said.
I mean, I can see that, because I mean, there's some things that may or may not just get the gameplay. Like, for example, Resistance, there's Underground, there's Survival, obviously, you know, video game companies take metrics on everything. So they're going to do the math. What gets playtime? What gets, you know, what's worth the time investment? A, for development, and B, what's going to get the investment of the player to play those things? I can also see how specializations may be the way that they hold people off on some of these things because, they're going to want players to say, okay, invest into demolitions, invest into marksmen, invest into survival, into survivalist, I think is the third specialization. So that's a way to, and stall is the wrong word, I think, but it gives a developer, it gives massive time to push out the rest of these features that are supposed to either be carried over or further developed onto for the Division 2. And I think that's a good opportunity, you know, for them, as well as give players a chance to fully dive into the different, you know, specializations and to fully get into everything in the game, find all the audio logs or whatever there's going to be in there, you know, like in Division 1, find the cell phones, find the audio logs, do all the echoes. You know, to find all the tool sets and do all your crafting. And if that's even a thing, because I don't even know if we saw that, you know, there's going to be a bunch of things. I mean, optimization stations, recalibrations, there's so many things that they haven't even talked about. You know, there's, you know, resistance, survival, global events. Are we going to have global events again now? You know, there's, you know, and not to mention the raid, which again is the end game that we're all hoping for. There's a lot of content. If it is, I mean, and it might be premature, but could it possibly already be Game of the Year contender? You know, and we haven't even crossed the threshold for the year of 2019.
Well, I mean, I'm going to pump the brakes on that. I mean, obviously, the demo was a lot of fun, and it was, and obviously, shout out to Ubisoft for getting us that access, you know, to the massive team during E3. So I think we got to know more than most, which I think is why we were so excited about it. I'm not going to sit here and say it's Game of the Year already because we just don't know. I want to see what that beta looks like, you know, when we flesh out Washington, D.C. and see how that plays out even more. Because think about it. We didn't do a story mission. We just did a random encounter in the game. Those things randomly happen, that demo that we played. So let's see how it plays out story-wise and all that. But like you said, I don't need everything there day one. I just need the most important things there day one, and I'd be very okay with it. Like I really enjoyed our time in the Dark Zone, and we know there's a Dark Zone. It's going to be there in the Division 2. So I'm curious to see what Dark Zone 2.0 is going to look like for Division. Like, you know, that Marco style video that you shared, you know, in our group chat the other day, and just the nonsense that people, you know, that group of people were doing. I don't want to have that happen too much to me when I'm playing. But like even our own encounter, which was fun because I went back and watched it on the stream because you streamed it. I went back and watched it laughing when we ran into those dudes at the extraction point and we got freaking murked and my game crashed when we tried to go back again. That was hilarious. I love encounters like that. That's a lot of fun. But just the toxic stuff that Marco was going through. And then I guess there's some big glitch right now going on. Right now, I know that Marco's been talking about on Twitter and saying he's going to put a video out about it. So I'm actually curious to see what that is. Cause I guess he's just saying he's been killed like 1,000 times over due to this glitch that people are exploiting. But going back to just the original point, between like Anthem and obviously Division 2 coming out early next year, I just have more confidence in the Division. Because I just feel like they've already gone through the growing pains of trying to launch, you know, a shared shooter, looter shooter game. Whereas this is BioWare's first, this is their first dance.
Yeah.
You know, so I expect them to have bumps in the road. I expect them to have problems. I just do. And their lack of information is not helping them, especially with the reputation that EA and BioWare has right now. If anything, they should be talking so much about Anthem, we should be telling them to shut up. Like, stop spoiling the game. I don't want to know all this. You're telling me too much. That's what they should be doing. Instead, they're whispering in the shadows and, oh, where is this? Because, like, I'm going to be honest with you, again, and I know I'm probably sounding like such a big freaking hater on it. Honestly, this should be the podcast. Danny should rip the audio for this. I'm going to be honest with you. I watched that audio commentary they did of the demo.
right?
You know, that came out last week or the week before. I watched it. Did nothing for me. It didn't. And I know that's the thing that a lot of people were coming out of EA Play saying, "Oh, Anthem's a lot better." Not for me. It didn't really. It didn't do anything. It didn't excite me for Anthem. It just didn't. And I know that may sound haterish or whatever, but it's just my personal opinion. I want to see more from Anthem. They're not showing me enough about that game. Because, look, for better or for worse, I've invested thousands of hours into Destiny at this point. That is just fact. You go look up Vicious696 on PSN and PC, and you add up the hours. You'll see for yourself. So I think I know what I'm talking about when it comes to this stuff.
Question.
And I'm still talking. What's the question?
You killed my train of thought. Now I lost my question, damn it. God damn it. Shit, where was I going to go with that? Damn it. Finish your thought. Now I got to bring that conversation back into
my mind. I don't know what my thought was. Not me. All I was saying was I think I know what I'm talking about with this. And in Anthem for me is not passing the eyeball test. That's all I'm saying. It's just not.
Oh, okay. I remember now. So I know the last time you were on the show, you mentioned how you were excited that the demo that they played for Anthem made you more curious because it wasn't the chopped down version. I don't remember if it was on the show or we were talking about this offline in our chat, but that 20 minute video on YouTube was what they should have shown at Anthem or at EA Play to get people excited. But now it seems like your excitement has been tempered because the hype of watching the video is over and you've had a chance to sit back and commiserate and think about things. So I'm just curious if that's exactly what it is. Or are you truly like, was that video just like, you know?
No, that's what it is. I will stand by what I originally said, that Anthem would have shown a lot better to the masses if that's what was at EA Play. But when I listen to the commentary, you're still not telling me anything. Right. And that's the problem. As a reveal, that's fine. We're past the reveal at this point. I want answers to stuff now.
I agree on that.
And I don't feel like I'm getting those answers just yet. And look, there's still time. There's a lot of time left for them to do that. Maybe they just, you know, in the next couple months have this huge blowout of it. Maybe because like I said, we haven't even heard about a beta coming, nothing. Mm-hmm. There's been whispers of one, but nothing official. And that's what I'm saying. People need to get their hands on this and understand it for themselves. Maybe that's what Anthem ultimately turns out to be. One of those games you got to play yourself and then you get it. But right now, watching from the sidelines, I'm not as impressed as I was hoping I would be. And yeah, D Wicked. Yeah, I'm telling you, my spidey tingling just like it did for Mass Effect and Andromeda. That's what I told all of y'all. I was like, man, I don't know about this game. It ain't looking right. and unfortunately, I turned out to be right. Like, it's sad. I was in Target the other day, and I was with Trey, and we went over to the gaming aisle, and we looked, and I saw Mass Effect Andromeda for Xbox One. It was like $10.
Oof,
that's crazy.
That's
discounted like a mofo, you know? But I don't know. To me, this is make or break for BioWare. Well, because if Anthem flops, they've lost all confidence. And I'm not going to say that EA is going to shutter BioWare. I don't think they're going to do that. But are you going to be excited for the next BioWare game, sight unseen? No. You're going to want to actually wait until it's out and they prove that it's good.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, Andrew, just want to say thanks, man, for joining us.
Thanks so much,
Alejandro,
man.
Too.
Yeah. Alejandro. I'm here. Hey, how are you?
There you go. All right. So, Alejandro, mention your website very quick.
My website is sonagamer.com. Sona, like sound in English.
Yeah.
Right? You can listen to all our podcasts, and you can listen to our roundtable conversation about cross-save and cross-play platform, too.
All in Spanish.
Yeah, all in Spanish.
Yes, yeah. So, sonagamer.com.
.com.
Yeah. So, or search on different podcast platforms, Zone Out Gamer Podcast,
Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts,
everywhere,
Radio Republic, everywhere.
Yeah. So, and Andrew, mention your podcast real quick.
Yeah. You can find us at theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all the beautiful places you download podcasts.
Shout out to your co host.
Yeah. Miss DJM, man. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
She's awesome. She's awesome. All right. So, again, thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. Remember, July 27th is the screening of the Gamertag Radio, a podcast story in New York City. First time in the city showing that movie. You know, last time I was here for that was for The Messengers. And it was a packed house, completely full, sold out. There was people standing the whole time during the screening. So if you're here in New York City, contact me, Danny@GamertagRadio.com. If you're interested, I will send you the link of where you can purchase tickets, or check out the description here of the podcast. Check it out on any podcast platform and click it, and hopefully I can see you there, man. So July 27th at 5 p.m. here in Manhattan, New York City, man. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.